We welcome the listeners of Radio Al Ansar 90.4 FM Durban and 105.6 FM Pietermaritzburg. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to a series of lectures by Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Before we continue, a little insight on the life and times of late Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Sheikh Ahmed Didat's most popular book, The Choice, aptly represents the way he lived his life. He chose to study biblical text and mastered the various narratives and interpretations. His quest led him to discover the idiosyncrasies and inaccuracies that had crept into the New Testament through human intervention. He realized that the New Testament, no matter what version, could not be considered a direct revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his noble prophet Jesus, peace be upon him. While this journey of discovery greatly distressed Sheikh Didat, he decided to use the knowledge to effectively rebut attacks by Christian missionaries on Islam and the Islamic way of life. Realizing that many Muslims were on the defensive because they had little or no knowledge of what the New Testament contained, Sheikh Didat adopted the motto that the best form of defense is Iqra, to read, understand, and spread the message. He has published over 20 books and distributed millions of copies free of charge. He has delivered thousands of lectures all over the world and successfully engaged Christian evangelists in public debates. The public debates are recorded on audiovisual material and are an excellent tool to acquire the Didat method of engaging Christian evangelists. Large numbers of people have come into the fold of Islam as a result of these efforts. He was awarded the King Faisal International Award in 1986, a fitting tribute to his enormous contributions to the world of Islam. The trustees, staff, and management of Islamic Propagation Center International are committed to the legacy of Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Sheikh Ahmed Didat's contribution has been outstanding and remarkable, and his audiovisual products would benefit the community for many years to come. We call upon the international community to pray to the Almighty Allah for late Sheikh Ahmed Didat. He was indeed a soldier, scholar, debater, and an emissary of Islam, taking Allah's message to every corner of the world. We salute late Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Alhamdulillah, you have now listened to the overview of late Sheikh Ahmed Didat. May Allah be pleased with him and grant him the highest abode in Jannah. Ameen. Now, to further enlighten you, we will be playing the recordings on various subject matters of Sheikh Ahmed Didat. Subject matters like: was Christ crucified? Is Jesus God? Is the Bible God's word? What the Bible says about Muhammad? Muhammad the greatest. Muhammad the natural successor to Christ. Crucifixion and many more. I am presenter, future psychologist, Masiha Ali. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters, believe me, I am equally a guest like yourselves in this historic meeting, this being the first visit of Brother Ahmed Didat to Geneva. Many do not know that Brother Ahmed Didat is in Geneva. The brother is Islam and Christianity. Brother Ahmed Didat, I think most of you have known of him, about him, an outstanding scholar, both in Quran and in the Bible, of international standing. We would have liked very much this occasion to be in the shape of dialogue for the sense of fairness that would have perfected the occasion. But our good-hearted brothers tried their best to organize this meeting. I'm given to understand, tried, but the offer was declined. So we shall have the pleasure of listening to Brother Ahmed Didat.
Alhamdulillah wa'dah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabi ba'dah. Allahumma ya mufattih al-abwab, wa ya musabbib al-asbab, wa ya dalil al-ha'irin. Tawakkaltu alayka ya rabbal alameen, wa ufawidu amri lallah, inna allaha basirun bil-ibad. A'uzu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, inna ad-deena inda Allah al-islam, sadaqallah, sadaqallah al-azim. Mr. Chairman and brethren, the subject, as has been advertised for this evening's discussion, is Christianity and Islam. I think we would rather have it as Judaism, Christianity and Islam, because there is a definite affinity between these three great Semitic faiths. See, the religions of the world can easily be divided into two major groups. One group of religions called the Aryan religions, and the other group of religions, the Semitic religions. Among the Aryan religions, I would consider Hinduism, Buddhism, and Zoroastrianism. This is of the Aryan group. The Semitic, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The unity of these three faiths consists in the unity of God. You see, in the fundamentals of the teachings of Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, may the peace of God be upon them all, there is not an iota of difference. I didn't say in the teachings of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Mark my words. Now, in the fundamentals of the teachings of these prophets, I said there is not an iota of difference. Between the religious groupings, there are many differences. When I say there is no difference in the fundamentals, I mean, like, for example, the first commandment. The very first commandment, as given by God Almighty to the holy prophet Moses, was in the Hebrew language, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, which means, Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. The first commandment. Some 1,350 years after Moses, a learned man of the Jews called a scribe in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 12, verse 29, this learned man of the Jews comes to Jesus and questions him. He said, Master, in the Hebrew language, Rabbi, Maulana, learned man, Sheikh, Master, what commandment is the first of all? And Jesus answers and says unto him, in the Hebrew language, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. He repeated word for word what was given by Moses 1300 years before, without the change of a dot. That in the fundamentals of religion, in the fundamentals of belief or faith, there is no change. He confirms the very words given by Moses. Some 600 years after Jesus, a Christian deputation comes to the Holy Prophet Muhammad in Medina. And they were having a dialogue for 3 days and three nights in the Masjid al-Nabawi, the Mosque of the Prophet. This Mosque of the Prophet is in no way to be compared with our Islamic center, the mosque, the beautiful mosque here in Geneva. This must have been mud walls, thatch roof, and plastered with mud on the floor, maybe with grass mat or palm leaf fiber mat. This Christian deputation was accommodated in the mosque. They slept in the mosque, they ate in the mosque, they discussed in the mosque for 3 days and three nights. During the course of this discussion, this dialogue, the spokesman for the Christian poses the question. He said, all right, now tell us, O Muhammad, among so many other things, says, tell us now, what is your concept of God? And the Holy Prophet Muhammad is made to say, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say, He is God, the one and only. He said, Ahad, one and only. Jesus said, Echad, meaning one and only. Moses said, Echad, meaning one and only. What is the difference? It's the same word meaning the same thing. Ahad and Echad. Ahad in Hebrew, in Arabic means one. Echad in Hebrew means one. And the difference between these two words is only the pronunciation. If the blackboard was any nearer, if I had foresight, I would have told them to bring the blackboard nearer. I don't want it now. And if I had a chalk, I would write Ahad. Alif Ha Da. Ahad in Arabic, meaning one and only. And to make it Ichad, on the Ha, I put a dot. That becomes Ha. Ha becomes Ha just by putting a dot. That is in the writing, calligraphy. But as far as the meaning is concerned, the word is concerned, it means one and the same thing. God Almighty is the one and only being that there is. So, my statement that in the fundamentals of the teachings of Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, there is not an iota of difference. And according to the Muslim belief, there is no such thing as Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. It is only Islam. In the verse I read to you from the Holy Quran, God Almighty says, Inna Dina Inna Allahil Islam. So most certainly the religion that is acceptable in the sight of God is Islam. Then what about Judaism? What about Christianity? Don't they exist? Are there no such faiths as Judaism and Christianity? I said, yes, not by name. These names didn't exist. You see, this word Judaism, where does it come from? You ask the Jew, the learned man of the Jew. Ask him, where does this word Judaism originate? Is it in your Bible, the Bible of the Jews, the Old Testament, in this Christian Bible called the Holy Bible, is divided into two parts called the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is the Bible of the Jews. Now, in this Old Testament, there are the first five books of this Old Testament called Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And these are supposed to be the Torah. We say Torah. The Jews say Torah. Torah means the law. These first five books. This is the fundamental, the basis of the teachings of Moses. Torah, Torah. Is this word Judaism to be found in the Torah? He says, no, it's not there. Is it in the Talmud? He says, no, it's not there. Is it in the Mishnah? He says, no, it's not there. Then where did you get it? Where did you get this term Judaism from? Did Moses hear this word Judaism? He says, no, he never heard the term Judaism. If Moses was alive today, if we can meet him personally, maybe in the hereafter, and if he had the opportunity of questioning him, he said, oh, Moses, tell us, what was your religion? What is the name of your religion that you were teaching? I do not expect him to say Judaism, because the poor man, he never heard the word. He never heard the word Judaism in his life. What do I expect him to say is, said, my religion is a religion of total submission to God's will. A beautiful description, a lengthy description for the religion which he taught. Now, one word for that in the Arabic language is Islam. He is giving a description, a religion of total submission to God's will. We say that word, one word for that in Arabic is Islam. Judaism comes from the word Judah. Judah, one of the sons of Jacob, Israel, Yaqub alayhi salam. He had 12 sons, and Judah was the eldest of them, I take it. Now, when the Jews, or the Bani Israel, the Israelites, when they conquered Palestine was divided among the tribes. There were 12 tribes, and each tribe was apportioned certain portion of land in Palestine. That portion of land occupied by the children of Judah was called Judea. And the people outside, they said that the religion followed by the children of Judah in Judea is Judaism. That's how this word Judaism came about. It's not in the Torah, it's not in the Talmud, it's not in the Mishnah. This is an invented word, concocted word. They concocted it and they liked the term and they adopted it. Judaism. But poor Moses, he never heard about Judaism. What about Christianity? If he had an opportunity in his second coming, Jesus Christ, if you have a chance of asking him, said, all right, oh Jesus, what is your religion? I do not expect him to say Christianity, because he also never heard the term. Believe me, in his lifetime, he never heard the word Christianity. He never heard the word Christ. In his lifetime, he never heard those terms. If he said Christianity, we have a right to ask him, what church do you belong to, sir? What church? Are you an Anglican or a Roman Catholic or a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Presbyterian or a Jehovah's Witness or a Seventh-day Adventist or a Mormon? What are you? What church? You'll agree it's ridiculous to ask Jesus what church he belongs to. What do we expect him to say? We expect him to say that my religion is a religion of total submission to God's will. And one word for that in the Arabic language is Islam. That's all. His religion was Islam. The religion of Moses was Islam. And Moses was a Muslim. The religion of Jesus was Islam. And Jesus was a Muslim. Does that mean he was following Muhammad? No. A Muslim means one who submits to the will of God. Abraham was a Muslim, David was a Muslim, Solomon was a Muslim, Jesus was a Muslim, Muhammad was a Muslim. Anyone who submits to the will of God is a Muslim. The whole of nature is Muslim. They all submit to God's will. Man, often, of course, he goes against the will of God and he is not submissive. He says, I'm an atheist. He says, I'm an agnostic. He says many things about himself. See, but nature, everything in nature, the sun, the moon, the stars, the plants, the planets, everything submits. And as such, in Islam, they are all Muslims. They bow to God's will. Man is the only exception. He rebels. So the religion, where does the word Christianity come from? Is it in the Bible? Holy Bible of the Christians? It's not there. The word Christianity is not there. But there is the word Christian. It does occur. It occurs in the New Testament. At Antioch, the enemies of the followers of Jesus, disparagingly they pointed to them, telling that these are Christians. Implying that these are the worshippers of Christ. So they were called by the enemies, Christians. Jesus didn't say, I'm a Christian. He didn't tell his disciples, you are Christians. No, is the enemy saying that these are Christians, worshippers of Christ? Like Buddhists. You know, all these are invented terms. Buddhism. Did Buddha say, my religion is Buddhism? No. Did Christ say Christianity or Christianism? No. Did Moses say Judaism? No. These are people applying labels from the outside. And sometimes people love these imitation labels. Concocted labels. You see, in my country, I come from South Africa. In my country, we have been divided into races. It's a land of apartheid. Apart means keeping apart. Hate The Africans were apartheid means the philosophy of keeping people apart. So in keeping us apart, naturally it creates prejudices. So the white man calls the black man, everybody who is not a European is black. No matter how white he looks, he's black in my country. If you don't originate from Europe, you are black. No matter how white you look. Like me, when I go to some of the African countries, they treat me as a white man. And I get rough treatment. I say, look, I'm the black man you are fighting for, man. You fool. You know, it is me who is, I'm being persecuted. And you also kick me in the face. What's wrong with you? Can't you see? I'm the black man. I said, no, you're not black. I said, I'm black. My children are lighter complexion than me, but they are black. No matter how white you look, you are black. If you don't, you originate in Europe. So they divided the communities. Among the whites, there is a big division. But for the purpose of convenience, they are united in ruling the black man. Among the whites, there are the Afrikaners who are ruling at the moment. By force of numbers, they are in power. The English-speaking people, they were ruling for a long time, until 1910, I think. The union took place, and they started ruling together, and the English people were ruling, and somehow, around 1948 or somewhere, that the Afrikaner nation, you know, they came to the top by force of numbers, they got into power, and there's no power on earth can move them now, unless there is a revolution. See, the English and the Germans and the French all put together can do nothing because the Afrikaners will predominate it by numbers. So among the whites, the Afrikaner calls the Englishman Ruinek. Ruinek in his language means rednecks. Rednecks because he says that this guy is a softy. You know, he goes in the sun for a little while, he gets red in the neck. You know, softy, effeminate fellow, who the Englishman. And the Englishman calls the Afrikaner Boere. Boere means farmer. But when he says Boere, he means backward, rustic. He doesn't mean, Boere literally means a farmer. And he's proud to say, I'm a farmer. But when an Englishman calls him a Boere, it means you backward, rustic fellow. Okay? So the Englishman calls him Boere, and this guy calls him Ruinek. Then they call me, my people, they call us coolies. Because some of our people went to labor in South Africa to cut sugarcane. So they said they went as indentured laborers. They saw every Indian a coolie. Coolie means a laborer. Then there is a colored community. There's a mixture between white and black. There are about 3 million. The white man created them. When he went to South Africa, that part of the world, he didn't take his wives along with him. So he got stuck into the Bushman woman and the Hottentot woman and the Bantu woman. And he created a mixed breed of people. 3 million today, his children. But they are all rejected. The white man rejects them all. He calls them Hottentots, means Hottentots, or Bushmen. They are the coloreds in my country. Coloreds means mixed breed. But when he talks about them, he calls them Bushmen, Hottentot, Hottentots. So these are labels applied by the enemies. The Englishman doesn't go around boasting, I'm a Ruine. The Afrikaner doesn't go around boasting, I'm a Boere. The colored doesn't go around boasting, I'm a Hottentot, Hottentot. No, he doesn't. He's the outsider, the enemy is pointing, disparagingly, and calling such names. But the Christians loved the term, so they adopted it. It's a term invented by the enemies. They say, Christian, you worshippers of Christ. Buddhist, worshippers of Buddha. Buddhist. And they call us Mohammedans. You know that? They call us Mohammedans. They say that we are the worshippers of Muhammad. No, there is no such creature on earth. They don't know that. We didn't correct them. So Mohammedans. They have been calling us Mohammedans. Worshippers of Buddha are Buddhists. Worshippers of Christ are Christians. Worshippers of Muhammad are Mohammedans. But there is no such creature. There is no worshipper of Muhammad. We are 1,000 million Muslims in the world today. Worshippers of God, God Almighty. Muhammad is a messenger, a prophet. He is no God. But this is the Westerners' way of labeling people. We worship Christ, so we are Christian. That guy worships Buddha, so he's a Buddhist. So these guys must be worshipping Muhammad. So call him Muhammadan. But this is how the word Christian came about in the book and Christianity around the world. And where did the word Christian come from? It comes from the word Christ. Where did the word Christ come from? It came from the word Messiah. Messiah. Arabic Masih, which means anointed. But now what we see is that in the teachings of Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad, there is not in the fundamentals, not an iota of difference. They all came from the same God, preaching the same religion. Each according to the time, age, according to the needs of the people. This is the religion of God. According to the needs of the people, God Almighty gives people guidance. The Jews, the children of Israel, they came out of the Egyptian bondage. They moved into the Sinai Peninsula, moving from oasis to oasis. A nomadic people, 40 years in the desert. They needed a law that will give them quick justice. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Beautiful law.
Far too long, Islam has been misunderstood. Let all see the light through this divine book. Since inception, 1 million copies have been printed and distributed. Sponsor today. You have your book of life to a blissful paradise. Helping another get theirs would be wise. Contribute now. It's the right thing to do. Call 031-306-0026 or WhatsApp 064-937-7590. IPCI, circling the globe with the message of Islam.
Beautiful law. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. I damage your eye, you damage mine. I broke your tooth, you break mine. Move on, there's work to be done. There's no time for lengthy litigations. There's no time for putting a man in prison. It was more merciful to get rid of an adulterer and the adulteress by stoning them to death than to leave them in the desert to die of hunger and thirst. It was more merciful. And they become an object lesson for others. It's, don't you do that. See what happens? Horrible death. You like to go through that? He said, no, not for me. He said, look, our system allows. If one woman is not enough, he says, get another. If two are not enough, get four. If four are not enough, get 40. Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines. 1,000. If your system allows you 1,000 wives and concubines, why interfere with somebody else's property? You are an antisocial character. You deserve death. Beautiful law. Beautiful law. For a nomadic people. But laws have a tendency to change characters of people over a period of time. Any law, every law. And you see examples of Hitlerite Germany. We learn, they tell us, that 6 million Jews were incinerated. True or false? Whether it was 6 million, or 600,000, or 6,000. I say it's dramatic enough. And one of the most cultured nations in Europe, the land of Goethe and Beethoven. Can you imagine them incinerating human beings? 6 million Jews, if it is true. 6 million Jews. Could they have done it? Yes. How is it possible? Programming, brainwashing. We all can be brainwashed into anything. Over a period, he says, these are parasites. Christ killers, they killed our Lord Jesus. Christ killers, oh, they burned their homes, they raped their women and killed the Jews, and they ran and they fled from one country to another, in Poland, in France, in Germany, in England, every European nation at Easter time, they were persecuted and killing the Jews. And they ran to Muslim lands, seeking refuge. And the Muslims accepted them with open arms. Ahlan wa sahlan, says the Arab. Family and plain, come, just think you are a member of the family and be at ease. And they went and lived among the Arabs. 1,000 years, running from country to country, Christian nations go to the Muslim land, the Muslim accepts them with open arms. But talking, but coming back, laws. In this law here, in Germany, program, people program, destroy the Jews, and they did it. In South Africa, my country, we are a color-conscious country. Everything is based on color. That we also, everybody becomes color-conscious. You know, I feel that I'm a little lighter than the other fellow, so I'm a little more superior than him. Everybody feels, on the grounds of his complexion, he's superior to the other guy. When I'm looking for a daughter-in-law, I look for a daughter-in-law with the lightest complexion. We all suffer from inferiority complexes, cultivated over a period. Color, color, color. The Indian is made to feel is better than the African. It's cultivated. See, each and everyone feels also that way. I'm better than the other because I'm lighter than him. So, in that country, it has been my hobby talking to people. I talk to people. I love to talk about God, about religion. I like to share. And not only sharing my thoughts, I like to share the food that I eat. And I have invited Indians, Africans, colors, whites to my home. Priests, businessmen, ordinary men, invite. I have invited dozens of white people to my home, men and women, for meals and a chat. They enjoy my chat and they enjoy my food. Our food is exotic. You know, the Pakistani food. I don't know if you have tasted it. If you haven't, you must try. Our samosas, a lot of people don't know what a samosa is. Somebody, I think from Jeddah, he wrote to me, he says, look, man, on one of your talks, you know, you're talking about samosas. What is this samosa? You know? I said, look, when I come, I'll ask some Pakistani fellow to make some and he make you to eat it, you know, to taste it, what it is. Exotic, exotic food. You know, the other Indians, meaning those who are Hindu, Tamils, Hindustanis, Telugus, they enjoy our food. The African enjoys our food. The white man enjoys our food. So they enjoy my talk and they enjoy my food. And they thank me profusely when they go. But no white man has ever called me to his house for a cup of tea in 40 years. Why? I ask them sometimes, point blank. I says, you people, don't you know how to reciprocate in your community? Do you ever reciprocate? Of course you do. Then how is it that no white man has ever called me to his house for a cup of tea? They meet me in the street subsequently. He says, you know, how's the missus? It's very fine. Call me my regards to her. And you know how grateful he is for the lovely meal he had. But he doesn't say, what about coming and having a cup of tea with me? Bring the family down. He doesn't do that. Why not? The reason is that in the back of his mind, he's thinking of me as a man of color. I am an Indian. I'm an inferior person. If I ever went to his home with my family, you know, with our attire, the long trousers and the downy, you know, the attire, the long dress and all that, and me with my funny headgear and my beard, I'm going and knocking at number 10 Downing Street, and there are people watering the garden, and the lady of the house, she opens the door, and she recognizes me. Oh, hello, Mr. Didat, come in, come in. People are watching, so look at her, you know, how she welcomes this coolie, you know. And I go inside and we sit down and we have a chat. 5 minutes goes to half an hour. So what's going on inside there? Is this Mrs. Smith running a shebeen, you know, brothel or something, you know, selling liquor, illicit liquor? What? What's going on? So at the back of the mind, they're terrified. They have that feeling that they must reciprocate, but what will people say? And if I happen to be there, if the man's brother-in-law comes along, he'll have to apologize for my presence. He says, you know, this is Mr. Didat. You know, we went to his home, and him and his family, they gave us a wonderful time. All that he has to do, in other words, to excuse the reason for why me being there. I'm not supposed to be there. But if it's another white man, that is Mr. Brown, hello, hello. So, this is Mr. White, hello, hello, so. Me, he says to explain why Didat is there. What does it? Program. It's a color conscious, even the priests, ministers, everybody is the same. Programming. We all get programmed, brainwashed into different attitudes. Laws have a tendency to change characters of people over a period of time. You have harsh laws, stern laws. Over a period that people also become hard and stern, unforgiving. So between Moses and Jesus, by the time Jesus comes on the scene, the Jews had become hard-hearted. They had forgotten forgiveness. So they went for the letter of the law. A man was trying to chase the birds from the field with that old-fashioned sling. You remember the one that David used? And it damaged my eye. So I go to the judge, I say, look, this guy damaged my eye, I want to damage his. The man pleads, he said, look, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, it was an accident, forgive me. I said, no, the law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what the law says. So he said, look, I will compensate you. I'll give you a kid from the flock. I'll give you a heifer, forgive me. I said, no, the law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He has a right, that's the law. This is what Jesus finds among his people. They're going for the letter of the law and they're forgetting the spirit. So as a spiritual physician, he prescribes a remedy for the hard-heartedness, for going for the letter of the law and forgetting the spirit. He says, no, you must forgive, man, you must forgive. So how many times, Lord? So he says, 70 times 7. It means indefinite. It's not to be taken literally. 70 times 7 means 490. You don't start counting, look, this is the fifth time now. Huh? This is the 50th time now you have wronged me. This is 450 times. No, you don't do that. In other words, indefinitely. Who's going to start counting 490, 7749, 490? No. Forgive, forgive. Turn the other cheek. Beautiful, beautiful teaching. For a certain sickness. You don't want to forgive? You don't want to forgive? He says, forgive, man, forgive. If a fellow strikes you in the right cheek, give him the other. If a man makes you to walk 1 mile, walk with him too. If a man takes away your coat, give him your cloak also. Agree with thine adversary quickly, said Jesus. While thou art with him on the way, before he takes you before the magistrate and makes you to part with your last farthing. Beautiful teaching. For a sickness. If you haven't got that sickness, it's suicide. For the sickness, beautiful remedy. It is not as a tonic, it's not as a panacea. I have been telling my British people. You see, they have been ruling my people for over 100 years. So when I go there, I says, you know, you are good Christians. You know what you have to have done? When Hitler wanted to invade Britain, you good Christians. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Jesus said, if a man takes your coat, give him your cloak also. So your coat is your country and your cloak is your empire. You should have welcomed Hitler and his army. He said, come, take, man, you can have the empire as well. You can have Britain and you can have our empire as well. Take it. Good Christians. Why didn't you do it? He said, no, it's unnatural. It's unnatural. What you did was natural. You have to defend your person and your position and to extend your hostilities to a reasonable amount of satisfaction and retaliation. In the state of nature, everyone has a right to do that. What you did was natural. It was Islamic. But it's against the teachings of Jesus. You are not a good Christian. You are a hypocrite. You say you're following Christ, but you're actually following Muhammad. This is the teaching of Muhammad, that you must defend yourself with whatever you have. Your teaching was, give in, give in. If a man makes you to walk 1 mile, walk two. However, so you see, this is a remedy for a sickness. His teaching was, as he says himself, Jesus Christ, he is telling his people, the Jews, that he has come for the Jews. I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I have only come for the Jew. That is what he says. The remedy is for the Jews, for their sickness, not for yours. I would be happy if the European world will practice what Jesus told them. Practice that. Turn the other cheek. Give your coat and your cloak also. Come, I want to see you do that. I want to see who does that. Which guy, which Christian, where? Impractical. Suicidal. But preaching sounds beautiful. You know, love, turning the cheek. Where is that hypocrite who does that? There isn't. So the teaching, each prophet, according to the needs of his people, he prescribed a remedy. And in that system of religion, Islam is the culminating point. Among the Semitic religions, Islam is the fulfillment of the teachings of Moses and Jesus. It is the same religion on different levels. It's not a different religion. If mankind creates variations, creates frills, adornments, this is the nature of man. He is not satisfied with simple, straightforward instructions. This is man. He is complicating things himself. You see, the Jews, if you read the Bible, you read there that prophets after prophets came to them, warning them that they must worship the one and only God that there is. He said, you must worship the Lord God, thy God, who is a jealous God. And he says that I shall have no graven images before me, not even the likeness of the things on earth, or in the heavens above, or in the waters beneath the sea. For my name is jealous and I'm a jealous God. I want nothing before me. You worship me and me alone, direct. I want nothing intermediary in between me and you. And you come to me. Prophets after prophets, warnings after warnings. They made the golden calf, didn't they? You hear about the golden calf? Yes, they made the golden calf. And we laugh. We laugh at the Jews. I said, the laugh is on all of us. We are all the same. All we are the same. We are given simple, straightforward instructions, but they're too simple for that. You know, we're too clever for those simple instructions. So we must make inventions. Like we read in the book of Ecclesiastes in the Bible, it says, he, the Lord, had made men upright, but he had sought out many inventions. He has made you simple, straightforward, straight teaching. The Lord God is the one and only God that there is. But you must say, no, he's three in one. Multiplicity you create, ideas you create. He says, he's a spiritual being. He says, God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. Not in form, shape, or size, but we must have form, shape, and size. You say, without that, we can't worship him. He says, this is what I want. You say, no, I'll give you that. This is man. Every man is like that. I can't say that the Muslims are totally exempt from that sickness. We also have sicknesses. But this is the nature of man. We laugh at the Jew, but this laugh is also on us. We are also in the same boat. So they made the golden calf. Jesus Christ comes and teaches his people. Come. So I'll teach you how to pray. He said, pray like this. O our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He is the Father of everybody. Means he's our Lord, cherisher, creator, sustainer, evolver of everybody. Metaphorically, he is the Father of everybody. But we miss the mark. He said, come, I will teach you how to pray. O our Father. And when he taught them this, Judas was one of them. That the Lord God is the father of even Judas, the traitor. He is the father of everybody, the good and the bad. He is the father of everybody spiritually. He is everybody's father. Means everybody's creator. But we'll find groups and groups of people. They can't see that. This is the father of Jesus Christ. He called him Abba. Abba means father. That means he's his real father. But he's telling you and me, he says, call him Abba. You mean his father. In the Jewish language, there was nothing wrong with that. In Islam, it's forbidden. So we don't call him father. Not because it's a bad word. There's nothing wrong with the word father. But this word father has now got other connotations. Therefore, it's eschewed in Islam. You know, it's an amazing situation that in the Holy Quran, we are given 99 attributes of God in this book. 99 attributes, qualities of God. That he is Ar-Rahman, he is Ar-Rahim. One of the verses of the Quran, surahs of the Quran says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّهُ He is Allah besides whom there is no other God. Al-Malik, the King. Al-Quddus, the Holy One. As-Salam, the source of peace and perfection. As-Salam. Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. Subhanallah, amma yushrikun. هُوَ اللَّهُ الْخَالِك, He is Khalik, Al-Bari, Al-Musawwir. Beautiful, beautiful attributes. 99 attributes of God are given in this Holy Book. He is not 99 gods. These are his qualities. His quality is not to be taken out of him. And he says, now this is Rahman, this is Rahim God, this is Salam God, this is Quddus God, this is... No. God is Rahman, and he is Rahim, and he is Al-Malik, and he is Quddus, and he is As-Salam, he is Mumin, and he is Muhammad. All these are his qualities. He is not these different persons. These are his attributes, 99. But among these 99 attributes, you know, it's an amazing thing in this list, that father is not one of them. This is a miracle, that this man, Muhammad, an illiterate man in the desert, who didn't know how to read or write, he goes, we know this is given to him by inspiration. But mankind, the outsiders, they say Muhammad wrote the book. I said, all right, he wrote the book, for example. I agree with you. I said, all right, Muhammad wrote the book. So I said, he invented 99 attributes. If he wrote it, he invented them. You got to agree, he invented them. 99 attributes, he invented them. He said, yes. I said, now you, with all your professorship, you doctor, you lawyer, you professor, come on, you give me some attributes to God. Come on, think, think. Give me attributes to God. Oh, he is the Father in heaven. I say, he is loving. I say, yes, he's kind. I say, yes, he's just. I say, yes, come on. He's all-knowing. I said, yes. He's omnipotent. I say, yes, come on. You can't go beyond a dozen. You know that? The cleverest of you can't go beyond a dozen with all your cleverness. Come on, give me, invent them. This man in the desert, he invented 99 with the crowning glory, Allah. But I says, you know, in your list of that dozen or half a dozen, the Father would be foremost in that half a dozen. You know that? He's always dangling before you, Father in heaven, the Father in heaven. God is love, God is love, God is love. He's being dangled before you, so you'll repeat that. He's the Father in heaven, see, yeah? He's loving us, yeah? Come on. Amazing. This word Father is being dangled before him for 23 years, and he never bites it. Consciously or unconsciously, he never takes it. Why? It's a miracle. For 23 years, that word Father in there, and he's hearing about God, the Father, he never takes it. And he goes on creating names as if from nowhere, from fresh air. You believe that? He was getting them from fresh air. All these attributes, 99, and he crowned it with the word Allah. There's a beautiful necklace of pearl, 99 pearl, with the crowning pendant, Allah. But Father is not one of them. And Father is easier in Arabic than Rabb. Ab means Father, and Rabb means Lord, Cherisher, Sustainer, Evolver. He's again and again, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, who is Rabb. He is the Rabb of Al-Alameen. He is the Lord, Cherisher, Sustainer, Evolver of the worlds. He is not Abdul Alameen. Ab is easier than Rabb, but Ab is eschewed. Why? Because people have a certain misunderstanding. The word by itself is good, beautiful. But it has now created other connotations. Jesus is the only begotten Son, begotten, not made. So he is the Father who begot Jesus. Begetting. So this is out. Allah does not beget. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He does not beget and is not begotten. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. And there's nothing like him to him. Anything you think or imagine is not him. So it is the same religion, teaching of Moses, Jesus and Muhammad, where new variations creep in. It is the duty of the man of God to clear your thoughts, your understandings, your concept of God. God is one. He is indivisible. He is the one and only. In Judaism, the teaching of Moses, teaching of Jesus, teaching of Muhammad. There is no trinity in their teachings. This is again creation of man. So with these words, I say, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I am very, very grateful for this community in Geneva for creating this opportunity for me to share with you my thoughts on the subject Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Upon listening to the various subject matters and episodes, please assist the IPCI to continue the legacy of Sheikh Didat. For all your contributions within Durban area, call or WhatsApp Abdul Khalik Ali on 078-768-7948 and Johannesburg Muhammad Khan on 083-982-8828. IPCI, circling the globe with the message of Islam.